Warning.
Brace for impact. It began with the book, Brace for Impact, Surviving the Crash of the Industrial Age. Then came the website, The Daily Impact, chronicling the crash of the industrial age. And now, the podcast, describing the downward spiral. In the fable that bears his name, Damocles was unnerved in the midst of luxury and power by the threat of a single sword, representing the ever-present possibility of failure, hanging precariously over his head. We, who because of cheap oil enjoy luxury and power in our ordinary lives beyond the imagination of the kings of old, live beneath a veritable forest of deadly blades, all of which are just about to fall. Unlike Damocles, we refuse to look up, let alone move out of the zone of impact. When they tell our fable, nobody's going to believe it. One, the price soared. The world is paying just over $100 a barrel for the 90 million barrels of oil it needs to get through a day. If the price goes any lower, it'll be less than the cost of production from fracking, tar sands, and deep ocean wells, which is where all the new oil is coming from. If we have to depend on the old legacy fields of Russia, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and the like, which are all in decline, the price will quickly go up. And when it gets much above $100, experience shows it will drive industrial economies into recession. So that's two swords. One sticks you if you stand up, the other if you sit down. Two is the demand sword, which is similar, but not identical. The recession of 2009 drastically reduced our consumption of oil in this country, hence dropped oil prices, and then kept them from rising as fast as they would have. As we recover, demand increases, prices go up, pushing us back into recession. As the masses of China, India, and Asia have the audacity to try to live like us with cars and air conditioners, they increase demand for oil, which increases prices, which makes it highly unlikely they will ever get to live like us, which, of course, we will soon not be doing either. So this is really two swords, too. One sticks you if you step forward, the other takes a slice if you step back. Then there's the capital sword. The oil business has done a very good job of not letting us see them sweat lately, but they are sweating, not because they have to spend a lot of money to find and develop new sources of oil years ahead of getting them online. That's always been the case. They're sweating because despite spending more and more on exploration and development, they are finding less and less oil. As Ambrose Evans Pritchard observed in the London Telegraph recently, data from Bank of America show that oil and gas investment in the U.S. has soared to $200 billion a year. It has reached 20% of total U.S. private fixed investment, the same share as home building. This has never happened before in U.S. history, even during the Second World War, when oil production was a strategic imperative. This is, of course, otherwise known as a bubble, a stampede of money started by the irrational exuberance of the hydraulic frackers. It continues amid talk of energy independence and America number one, but not for long. Look around. All the shale operators are underwater. Not a single major oil company is involved in the American fracking revolution. Shell was, but bailed out at the end of last year after taking a $2 billion loss. The same situation obtains worldwide for deep water, Arctic, and traditional sources. Global capital investment by oil companies doubled in just 8 years between 2000 and 2008, is running near $1 trillion a year, and is finding virtually nothing. The major oil companies have already quietly begun cutting back on their capital expenditures for exploration and development. which may be the scariest single fact you could know about the oil situation today. For the depletion sword. The Achilles heel of the fracking business, all right, I'll stop the classical allusions now, is the hideous decline rates of the wells. Traditional oil wells lasted for 20 years. These super expensive, water-guzzling, radioactive, and toxic waste-generating babies last for 5. That means if you're an operator and you want to show your investors steadily rising production, you had better bring a new well online nearly every year. The good times roll on as long as everybody believes the good times will last forever. But it's always amazing how fast a party that everybody wanted in on can disperse when it runs out of booze. And last, the stock market soared. With the country's economy manifestly unrecovered from the Great Recession, or the Minor Depression, whichever one you prefer, it makes no sense that the stock market is dancing in the stars, wearing silly hats and blowing on noisemakers, while millions sink into poverty. That which makes no sense collapses. Reality, it always turns out, is not just a good idea, it's a prerequisite for persistence. See the Enron bubble, the savings and loan bubble, the dot-com bubble, the housing bubble, and on and on. So it is not only conceivable, but likely, that within the next few months, a standard garden variety stock market correction, the other word for it is crash, could suck all the money out of all the fracking plays at once. Or the dawning realization that we've been led up a blind alley by the American fracking revolution could trigger the market panic that finishes fracking. Either way, it's a lose-lose scenario. All those swords. And to think Damocles freaked out at the sight of just one.
To keep up with the ways our industrial world is falling apart, subscribe to The Daily Impact. To better understand them, the second edition paperback edition of Brace for Impact is now available at Amazon.com. For now, this is Tom Lewis saying, Brace for Impact.